I remember Good Friday from years ago when I was a kid. I was attending Bethel Mennonite Church at the time, and when you're a kid, Good Friday doesn't mean a whole lot to you, except that it's a holiday, you don't have to go to school, and after the service you had the day to do what you wanted. And I remember sitting in that church, if you were a youngster, you thought you were really cool, you got to sit at the front bench. And if your dad had to walk up in the middle of the aisle to get you, well, you knew what the trouble was then. But they could keep an eye on you. And I remember about the pastor describing what happened to Jesus on that day, how Jesus was arrested and taken away to be tried illegally throughout the night, how he was mistreated and humiliated throughout the night, how on Friday morning he was taken to Pilate, how he was beaten, how he was whipped, how the whips were made of metal and bone that were weaved into the leather lashes to rip the flesh away, and how his blood flowed, how a crown of thorns was pressed upon his head, piercing him, how he was given the robe of a king and mocked and humiliated even further, how they placed a cross on his back for him to drag up to the place of the skull, Golgotha, how they stripped him of his garments and laid him on that cross and drove nails into his hands and feet, how he hung on the cross, bearing our sins, our guilt, our shame, and paying the price for all, and how he died there on that cross for me and for you and for the whole world. I realized this only a few years after those Friday morning services. And I realized how terrible the suffering was for Jesus that he went through on that night and that day. And now I remember asking myself, and I ask that even today, why do we call it Good Friday when such a thing had happened? How can we call it Good Friday when the Lord Christ died in such a terrible way? And as I got older, I came to realize it more and more, what that day was all about and what Jesus had accomplished on that day. And as I realized what a painful day it was for Jesus, he accomplished some very good things for us on that day. The first thing he accomplished for us was propitiation of our sins. Was accomplished. Propitiation, that's a long word. It means to satisfy or appease the anger and wrath of Almighty God. If you have never repented and are living in sin, you need to realize that God's wrath and anger are upon you. You are born again a child. You are a born again child, or you are his enemy, one or the other. Why did Jesus come and die such a terrible death? Because when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, sin destroyed that relationship that we had with the Holy God. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Satan tempts man into sin, blinding him to the truth, and sin destroys that relationship with God and brings the curse of sin upon man and woman, death. Where are you spiritually today? John gives this simple test in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. "Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." Notice that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and the works of ourselves, our sins. What drove God to sacrifice his beloved Son on the cross? 1 John 4, verse 10. "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins." In order for sin to be destroyed, Jesus died in our place, that the penalty of sin should be paid. Who did Jesus die for? 1 John 2, verse 2. He himself is propitiation of our sins, not for ours only, but for all of those of the whole world. Maybe you this morning think you've messed up so badly that God could never forgive you. The good news is that you're wrong. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you are part of the world. He loves you, and Jesus paid the price for your sins and for the sin of every person alive in past and in the future. But unless you repent, you will still be under the curse of sin. You are still the enemy of God, and you are still the object of his wrath. Won't you come to him and be forgiven today? On the cross, redemption of our sin was made available. Redemption means to purchase, to buy back, to free from captivity by the payment of ransom. John 8, verse 34. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Today, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, whether you know it or not, you are a slave to sin. If you're not a born-again believer, you are a prisoner of Satan that controls you more than you realize through that curse of sin. But the good news of Jesus Christ is available to you. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those free who are oppressed. Are you tired of going through the motions of life? Are you tired of guilt and shame? Do you hunger to take hold of the life that God wants you to have? On Friday, 2,000 years ago, here's what Jesus did to redeem you and secure your freedom. Hebrews chapter 9, 11 and 12. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered into the holy place once for all, having attained eternal redemption. He shed his blood on the cross to pay the price for our sins. He entered heaven while his body lay in the tomb, and as the high priest, he offered his blood on the mercy seat in heaven as complete payment for the sins and purchase of redemption. What happens when we repent and believe in him? Colossians chapter 1, 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And how are we to live in response to that gift of redemption? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You exist in either one situation or another. You are living either a life, a holy life, and glorifying God, or you are living a life of sin. Which are you today? On the cross, reconciliation with God was made possible. Reconcile means to resolve a dispute between two parties and restore that relationship into one of harmony and friendship. The reason why Jesus died on the cross was to pay for the price of our sins, to satisfy the wrath of holy God towards sinners, and to redeem us from the curse of sin, with the outcome that would be us being reconciled with God the Father. Colossians chapter 1, 19 to 22. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind and engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Notice that the goal of Christ was to cleanse you from your sins by his blood and to present you before God the Father as holy and blameless. And what does Christ desire of us once we have become reconciled to him? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He gives us the mission of sharing the good news of the gospel of Christ, that we might be part of seeing lost people saved and reconciled to God the Father. On that Friday, over 2,000 years ago, propitiation of our sins was accomplished, redemption from our sins was made available, and reconciliation with God was made possible. These things happened with the goal of the greatest gift that could ever be offered and made available, as salvation. Salvation means the deliverance from sin and consequences of sin, namely death, separation, and eternal damnation. And from the cross, Jesus offers this message of hope to you, to me, and to the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. His offering to you this morning is to be forgiven and saved. Acts 3:19. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and confess that Christ is the Lord of your life. Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of the faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. As a child when I grew up, I always wondered why the day that Jesus died was called Good Friday, because it seemed to me that that was the worst thing that could happen. The day Jesus, the Lord of glory, died. But when you think about what happened on that day, propitiation of our sins was accomplished, redemption from our sins was made available, reconciliation with God was made possible, and salvation was freely offered, that then I came to realize that it was a Good Friday. Amen.